Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi
wabarakatuh. I wish you peace. I hope you wish me the same thing, inshallah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. It's indeed an honor for me to see you all after you had 3 days of intensive lectures and seminars and workshops and whatnot. And you have that honor of listening to great scholars. And I am glad that you came here, and I would like to say a few words about this institute, inshallah, and I hope you will be persuaded to be part of this great vision that we have. I did not hear all of those talks in the race. I did hear some of them through live stream, and what I can guarantee is that our vision at the Islamic Institute is exactly the same like you heard there. Dr. Tariq Ramadan and the Mufti from Bosnia, and of course Dr. Hakim Jackson and many others, the gist of what they said is that we need to relate authentic Islam to the contemporary times. And as you all should know from the many talks, Islam has 3 aspects. One is Aqidah, the sound belief, the sound doctrine. And we have Sharia, which is taken in a limited sense today, unfortunately, purely legalistic extrapolation of rulings. And of course, I have been doing that for years, but that is not the main central focus of the Sharia. Is ethics, transformation of morals, and building character. Then of course we have tasawwuf, which is specializing in purifying the heart, transforming the individual as the basis for transforming the society. Transform the individual, transform the family, transform the society, and transform humanity, because we are all, you know, created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Humanity is one family. This is the central message of Islam. So Islamic Institute want to relate this authentic knowledge, the legacy of Prophet, which has been transmitted by generations of scholars, giants of the Islamic civilization, the great imams, intellectuals like Imam Ghazali, Ibn Khaldun, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim, and many hundreds of others, who devoted their entire life to pass on to us the authentic Islam, but they adapted it to their own conditions. There is a principle, a golden rule in fiqh: تغير الفتية بتغير الزمان والمكان. Fatwa changes in accordance to changing times and conditions. What do we mean by that? There are constant principles, universals in Islam, but then there are application of these principles which may change. And that's why we have diversity of schools of jurisprudence. Even in a single school like Hanafi school, you have different rulings given in different times. In the Shafi school, there is wudu, different options, different ruling from the same. The same is the case with the Hanbali school, which is considered to be very, very textual or text-oriented, and yet even Imam Ahmad. Any issue you take and you ask what is the view of Imam Ahmad, there will be sometimes 10 views attributed to him. And the same is the case with the Maliki school. And you heard Abdul Hakim Jackson talk about this giant, the mountain, the Khurafa. So we have great courses here for great lives, from the first generation down to the modern times. And I taught this course 5 parts. So of course I am not boasting we can do full justice to all of these great personalities, but we need to introduce them to everyone so that we are inspired by these great lives. Our role model is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the 4 caliphs and the great imams, the great awliyaullah, there is no shortage of such individual in the Islamic history. So I would ask you to be part of this institute. We teach Hanafi fiqh here, we teach Maliki fiqh here, we teach Shafi fiqh here, we teach Hanbali fiqh here, because we want to break this sectarian narrow-mindedness. We need to look at the fiqh as a rich tradition, and it is every Muslim should be proud of. Even if you are a Hanafi, you should be proud of the contribution of Imam Shafi. Let me explain to you a miserable, sad state of this Ummah. I used to be Imam in Jami Mosque. We had seminars with the great Imams, and I was talking about Imam Abu Hanifa, and some of the students from the stage who attended the lecture went back and told the ISNA president, Dr. Jati Hammad, that Sheikh Ahmed Kuti is a fanatical Hanafi. So when he met me, he said to me, "This is what one person reported to me about you." I said, "Sheikh Ahmad, I'm coming from a Shafi background. I come from South India. I was raised as a Shafi. I was trained at the Alim in the Shafi school, but of course I went forward to do my advanced studies in comparative jurisprudence. But when I talk about Abu Hanifa, I talk about him with utmost respect. Because kullul fuqahai alamun ala Abu Hanifa. All of the jurists are dependent on Imam Abu Hanifa. Because if you want to learn fiqh, master the works of Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi." So this is our approach to the great Imams. We appreciate them all, and of course we appreciate Jalil Tasawwuf. Authentic tasawwuf, it is part in the heart of Islam, and we want to transform the character, transform the minds, so that you can take over the future of Islam, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's an honor for me and you to serve this cause, inshallah. Al Islamu ya'alu wa la yu'ala. Islam will go, it's an ascendant, it's not going to go down. Even though Muslim condition may be despondent and weak and sad, but may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to join this kind of educational. We want this to be Al-Azhar of Canada. It's a baby step we are taking. Inshallah, we will do that. So I want you to go to our website and look at our curriculum. And of course, you can also go to Islam.ca and allislam.net. Alhamdulillah, I have a life essence there. I give advices on Sharia issues and fiqh issues, marriage and things like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to leave behind us footprints in the sands of life. تلك آثارنا تدل علينا فانظروا بعدنا إلى الآثار. You know, great giants said, these are the footprints that we have left behind in the sands of life. After we are gone, if you want to know what kind of people we were, look at the footprints in the sands that we have left. So we want this institution to be a legacy, speaking for me. As Imam Bukhari said, when I stand before the Lord of the Worlds, I will say to my Lord that here it is, my labor of love. I love you, so I have dedicated this work to you. So we want to dedicate this work, this great institution, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I exhort you and persuade you to join us in this great enterprise. Dr. Tariq Ramadan is here. By the way, his father, I was a Muhib of his father, and it is an honor for me to meet the great son. And actually, as a high school student, I grew up waiting anxiously the arrival of Majal al-Muslimun, the great journal that his father was the editor of. Let us welcome Dr. Tariq Amlar. He is indeed one of the great intellectuals in the contemporary world, inshallah. And we have the same vision. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to honor him and learn from him and to be inspired by him, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Jazakumullah khair. Thank you very much, Sheikh Ahmed Kuti. I won't take time in introducing Dr. Tariq Ramadan. He is well known to all of you. As he makes his way up, I just wanted to let you know that we have two books that are on sale. His most recent book, Islam and the Arab Awakening, we're selling it at a discount price for $20. And the other one, Tariq Ramadan, what I believe, for $15. So they're available outside, inshallah. I'd like to welcome Dr. Tariq Ramadan. And inshallah, we will go until Salatul Maghrib, which is in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And then we will have a very short interactive discussion after that. Jazakumullah khair.
Thank you for your invitation, and it's great just to arrive and to meet with your community here. And words of welcome, reminding me and us of this filiation coming from someone, coming from a family. And I didn't know that you knew my father, rahmahullah. And it's in fact connected to the way we have to understand the very essence of education and the very essence of the challenges. You live in this society now, and Canada is your society, and Canada is in fact part of your identity. Now, what is important for us is to understand, to get a very deep understanding of Islam and the principles of Islam, in order to understand in which way we deal with the surrounding society. So, what is important for us here? I will keep it like that. It's better. It's not going to. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. So, what is important is the scholars and the ulama. They were saying something which, for us, is the translation of the universality of Islam. Wherever you are, and you can say La ilaha illallah, and no one is preventing you from saying La ilaha illallah, and following the message of the Prophet ﷺ, you should understand that you are at home. So, what the parents experience sometimes in very difficult time, leaving the country, leaving the roots, and coming to another country, this is an experience of the past, and it's not the vision of the future. And what is important is to understand that when you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah, and you can say it in this country, this is the starting point of your responsibility. No one in the West is preventing you from saying that. No one. You can say it, even though some people may dislike Islam or target Islam, we have racists, we have examples, but the point is that in the light of the rules, in the light of the legal Canadian system, you are free, and you are even better in this country than many Western countries. If only you know what, you know, for example, you heard about what is happening in France and this pressure on the headscarf. In fact, it's not only the fact that you can afford a headscarf, it's the whole atmosphere targeting the new visibility of Muslims. And at the end, you feel that as a practicing Muslim man and woman, there is something that they are creating in the atmosphere that is targeting the Muslim. So you don't feel good. In Canada, no one can say that this is the case, even though we have friends that are targeting the Muslims. Still, the very important, the starting point of our discussion is, we are Muslims, we can say that we are, and we can implement our religion. So the five pillars of Islam, Salah, Salman, all this is accepted in this country. Now, having said that, yes, when you look at this society, being a Canadian citizen and being a Muslim, you understand that from the very beginning, our understanding of Islam is not only by saying we have the rights to be here. We have rights. It's true, you have the rights and you can be a Muslim and you say, La ilaha illallah, and you are a Canadian Muslim, a Muslim Canadian. Now, the point when I say and I repeat that you need to understand the religion is in fact for you in this society to be an added value, to come and to bring something to this society. People keep on saying, you Muslims, you have to integrate. You Muslims, you say to yourself, I need to contribute. I need to give something to this society. I need to be part of this society. And then the first attitude is, what do you give to this society? First, let us be clear as to what Islam is telling you before you have to say to people. What Islam is saying to you, what Islam is teaching you is, be careful, this life has a meaning. That you are not here by accident. There is a purpose in your life, and this life has a meaning. And if, for example, you listen to your mothers and your fathers telling you can do this, you can't do that, you have to act in a good way, you should be people of etiquette, that you need to have limits in what you are doing, that you have to avoid things, it's to say what? In fact, what you have to do is to please Allah, and what you have to do is to respect yourself. When it is said in the Quran, وَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ give dignity to human beings, the first thing that you need to understand is you have to respect yourself. And how do you respect yourself? You respect yourself by respecting your own freedom. In the Quran it is said, فَمَنْ شَاءَ يُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wants, he can or she can believe, or whoever wants, she or he can disbelieve. Your first responsibility when you come with believing in Allah, it has a meaning and it has to be visible, is the way you deal with yourself, the way you respect yourself. So very often the surrounding discourse is to put you in a situation where you are pushed to try to please the people and to be accepted. That's not Islam. Islam is not to be accepted by people. The first attitude that you need to get is respect yourself to be respected. And respect yourself is ask yourself the meaning of freedom. What is the meaning of freedom? Is freedom to do what all the people are doing? Or is freedom to do what you think is right? Islam is telling you freedom is check your mind and do what is right, not what all the people are doing. And this is where, as students, and we know this, there is, you know, schools and there is the culture, the surrounding culture, and we are pushed to do what the people are doing and say, oh, I'm free because I'm doing all what they are doing. So they drink, I drink. They smoke, I smoke. When they go to clubs, and I do the same. This is not freedom. This is just to follow the majority, to follow the people. And they are telling you, do what you want, but in fact, what Islam is telling you, do you really do what you want? Or do you do what they want you to do? And you follow them. So the first attitude is, really as Muslims, is to come in this society and to say, I'm trying to be the way I want to be and to respect myself. And this is our first message to Canada. And as young students and young Canadian Muslims, this is the way you have to deal with this society, is we are here to show a dignified way of dealing with ourselves. There are things that we are not going to do. And it starts with very simple things. The first, you know, many of you are coming from countries where, within the culture, some of you converted to Islam here, some of you are coming from Pakistan, coming from India, coming from the Arab world or the Middle East, and there is something in your culture which is very, very close to the Islamic principle. Is in fact, whatever we are, we give. We give. Generosity is the very essence of Islam. You love Him, you give. Because what the Prophet said is the best among you is the best human being. Not for Muslims, but human beings. So you understand that we have to have an open heart. Even if we don't like what the people are doing, we still respect who they are and we give. We give to people. So check in your society, in schools, wherever you are, do the people around you feel that there is an added value to your presence? That you are giving something to this society, or are you just here to say, we want you to accept us? And we end up nurturing an inferiority complex in the way we deal with this society. So we need to come with, not only we are at home, but we ensure that we are home by the way we give to people. And there is this dimension of the heart which is important. Let us, as Muslims, show the way we have an open heart when it comes to solidarity, when it comes to justice, when it comes to respecting the elder people in this society. You live in a society in Canada where the way we deal with the elder people is not out of respect. It's as if when you don't make money for the society, you are on the margin of the society. And old people are forgotten within the society. That's not the Islamic way. The Islamic way is respect the elder people, respect the people the way they have to be respected in our society, in our way to deal with somebody, in our way we deal with the people who educated us when we needed them. So this is the way you have to have a constructive presence in anything which has to do with your heart. And there are simple things that are very important in the way you deal with yourself. Try to have a respect towards the people. You know that the Prophet ﷺ was saying, لَا تَذْكُرُهَا إِبَنْ إِلَّا بِخِرٍ. Don't talk about someone who is absent except in good terms. It's very important for us to be this presence where we are trying to show to the people that we have values. There are things that we know, backbiting, insulting the people, vulgarity, slang language, we avoid. This is not our way. Our way is dignified in the way we talk, in the way we serve, in the way we interact. And if someone is rejecting you, don't respond with your emotion. Respond with your wisdom. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Peace be upon you. If you want to insult me, I'm not going to do this. So our understanding of being a Muslim is at the end to go beyond what is the general discourse. They are telling you, be accepted, you are responding, we are giving something to this society. So this is the first dimension, which has to do with your own dignity. And then there is a second dimension. What do you give? And this is where we have to be involved in within the society. We should not isolate ourselves. But in order not to isolate ourselves, we should be strong with our understanding of Islam. Because if you don't understand and you don't study Islam, you go and you are lost, you do what they are doing if you are not equipped. If you don't understand your religion, you are going to be lost because they are very powerful. This is a culture, it's a very powerful culture where everything is done to attract your instincts, your desires, where your emotions, and you go. You know, for example, many of you like movies, and we know how it works now. It's, you know, even in Hollywood, the movies, the way we are dealing with movies is based and produced by psychologists. They are working on the substance of our movies to attract your emotions. So you have scripts that are discussed through psychologists, say, in which way this could attract the people. So you think that you are watching the movie only with your mind while they play with your emotion. And that's something which is, this is our weakness. So we need to be equipped and be powerful and stronger in that dimension. By doing what? Knowing our religion, but also in social terms to show how much we want to be involved in the society by solidarity work. And solidarity work means that we should try to be involved in activities in this society. And when even we have schools, it's important. An Islamic school is not a school for Muslims. An Islamic school is a school with Islamic principles for all, which is not the same. Islamic principle for all is, as a Muslim, I have my principle, but I'm going to serve humanity. I'm going to serve the people even if they don't share my belief, if they don't share my practice. I'm going to serve them. To serve them, to show them that I'm here to serve humanity because this is what Allah and the Prophet are teaching me. Serve the people. And serve the people starts with a good example. So if you have, for example, in this society that the people are trying to forget the meaning of life, some by indulging into drinking, drugs, violence, we start by saying this is not our way. The campaign that our brother have, for example, against domestic violence, that's very important. Muslims who are accepting violence against women are not understanding the message of Islam. We should be at the forefront of this struggle. We don't accept this. There is no domestic violence in Islam. We cannot beat our wives and beating a woman is not Islamic. So we start with ourselves and we come into the society by saying drugs and all the reasons that are sometimes justifying with alcohol, with violence, with justifying bad behavior, this is something that we are not accepting. So we come at the forefront by contributing to the change of the society. In fact, the true Muslim Canadian presence is a Muslim presence helping Canada to be better. Are you doing the job? Is this what you are and who you are in this society? And you can sit down and think about, oh, it's very hard for me. No, start with yourself. How many people in your family and your among your relatives in your neighborhood, how many people can see today, looking at you, living near to you, how many people could say today that you are helping them to be better? Just take it like this. Your friend, your brother, your sister, even your parents, even your peer in schools or outside. What? How many today, looking at your life, would say, you help me to be better? If you don't help anyone to be better, and you don't help yourself to be better, I'm sorry to tell you, you are useless. And the worst that you can be before Allah is to be useless among people. This is the worst. If you are before Allah useless or perceived as useless among people, it means that you have not understand the very essence of Islam, which is to contribute to give and to protect the values. So I have to finish. So we are going to pray the Maghrib, inshallah. And as I understood, there will be some questions after that, inshallah. So try to concentrate when you pray, but still, I had a question. How many people in your life can say, you help me to be better? And there is none. Wake up. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
So we pray right in the hall. For those of you who are not praying, I would ask you to keep silent because the sound actually carries.